we spoke quite openly about it before Derby at the iPro a week ago, and we spoke before Wolves on Saturday, that, you know, there's a lot of benchmarks you set yourself. You know, to score a goal at Championship level sounds easy. To get a first point at Championship level sounds easy. Your first win, your first clean sheet. And we went down to Derby hoping to get that. We didn't get any of them. But we got that against Wolves on Saturday, and that was... It's massively important. You know, Rotherham United, the last time they got promoted to the Championship, it took them 11 games to get their first win. And so we've got that little thing off our back, so that we've gone out and we've won in our second game in. And if we're being honest, I think we're very fortunate to beat Wolves, but I think we were very unfortunate not to win at Derby, not even take a point. We were unfortunate not to win at Derby. So, you know, we got a little bit of luck back, but it's fair to say we only got the luck back that deserted us last week.
The last manager to take this club into the Championship had to actually grow a beard, I think, to try and motivate the team to get that victory. It must be a relief that you can keep shaving.
Well, I don't think I'm old enough to grow a beard. You know, I'm not like you. And if I grow a beard, believe me, I soon get told to get it off. And that's just my chairman. You know, we've all got a boss. I think we... every manager for different reasons. Everybody in football is superstitious for different reasons, whether it be same socks, underwear, shirts, ties, all the way through the season. It does happen, first, second in a tunnel, whatever, for players, how they celebrate, etc. But I think over the season it's not going to be about superstition. It's not going to be anything other than performances. And we know that, you know, this is a people educated me before we kicked off at Derby last week, that this was probably the single biggest jump in football from League One to the Championship. Dare I say it, perhaps bigger than Leicester City's jump to the Premiership. And certainly with the quality we've seen of Derby County and the quality we've seen from Wolves, I know they were a League One club, but for every intents and purposes, they've got a squad that's Championship and Premiership players. So the gulf is big.
From what I've seen, perhaps the most encouraging thing is that you've signed a lot of different players, yet this is still a Rotherham United side. It's the same type of work ethic, the same team that we've seen in the last two promotion years. Is that a fair thing to say?
Yeah, it's very fair. You know, and it can never change. You know, we don't have the resources to go and compete with the Derbies and the Wolves, so we have to have a point of difference. We're not saying that because we don't have the resources doesn't mean we can't beat these teams. We just beat one of them on Saturday. But we have to have a real tenacity and a real desire and hunger and passion and that to win a football match, and we need to embrace it. And I've said some weeks we're going to get popped off and beat convincingly by teams because they have that quality of player. But we have to come out at the end of the season knowing that if it's not every game, it should be the odd exception where we've not gone toe-to-toe and get in the trenches and have a proper fight. And that's the minimum.
You'll have spent most of the summer, I imagine, imagining what that first Championship game will be like at the New York Stadium. Was it everything you expected?
Yeah, and more. Our supporters were absolutely terrific. And many times have I said, and many times as people said, about how important the supporters are at the New York, but I don't think even they know how important a part they're going to play. I can remember before we kicked a ball at Derby, Steve McLaren was talking about how the reaction of the Derby supporters, given the huge disappointment after losing the playoff final, how that was going to be. That's the single best atmosphere as a management team we've ever experienced down at iPro. And the New York on Saturday was as near to that as we can get. They were stunning at the start. You know, and when Wolves had a bit of the ball first and second half, they were singing away and they were getting right behind the team. And of course, we all got our rewards at 10-5 when the referee blows up. But they've got a huge, huge part to play, and we're going to need that type of atmosphere every game of for the next, what was it, 46 games.
I just wonder, if you had to make any subtle changes at all to the... I mean, we saw this team at the end of last year, you know, that you love to get them fullbacks forward and have a go at teams. Are there any sort of subtle changes that you've had to make taking on a different division now?
Well, I think you have to be... Yeah, I think you have to be more calm when you go forward and more defensively minded. But we're playing a little bit of a different structure at the minute, aren't we? We're playing McKirk at fullback just to compensate for Fraser not being available to us, and Fraser is that roaming fullback who'll go and join in, and he's got some real quality. So we're down that side of it, of course, and we're still chopping and changing a little bit up top to get it completely right. And a lot of that will depend on opposition. We knew that Wolves would defend quite deep. They don't like pace down the sides of them or in behind them. So it was going to negate what we could get out of Matt Derbyshire. So we brought Paul Taylor in to come in front of them and get the ball into feet and play that type of way, and I thought he was terrific, to be fair.
Yeah, is he settling quite quickly? Because you needed him to, didn't you? You bring him in, he gets his debut straight away. You kind of needed him to sort of have an impact, didn't you?
Well, I think he was very surprised he played. You know, he trained with the lads for an hour and 15 on Friday, and then we put him straight in. But we put him straight in after analysing what we've seen against Wolves, and I think Paul Taylor was one of our star performances. It may not be right for him to play against Watford, of course, because they're a totally different style. And a totally different way and makeup of compared to Wolves. But, you know, we know what we want to do. I've just discussed it with the staff. We know our team, we know our shape, and we'll work on it today.
How's Ryan Hall then? Because he just got that little knock, didn't he, in scoring the winner?
He should be fine. He's just, you know, the boy goes to clear it, as we see, and Ryan goes in and meets the ball, and the kid follows through. The boy Doyle, I think it is now, not McDonald, but Doyle goes through and catches him, and right on where Ryan's had a problem before. He could have carried on. It was my decision. We just couldn't afford that 5 or 6 minutes it would take to get proper feeling back and get back into it. And we had Kieran sitting there, who of course was unfortunate not to start.
A goal like that is a great one for a manager, isn't it? To sort of point when you're sort of asking them to give everything and to do the kind of things you want them to do. When you can point to a goal like that, look what your endeavour can produce.
I think Ryan was saying afterwards that he was stood on the edge of the box along with Lee Frecklington, and I was screaming at him to go into the box. So I'm going to say, is that the first goal Steve Evans has scored in the Championship? I think it is. And he did say afterwards, it's the guy wouldn't have been in there, and he wouldn't have been, but we have to press teams in there and make sure if there's going to be ricochets, we're in people's faces, not 10 yards off them. And his effort and his desire, because he makes the run, he uses the wisdom of his mind, if you like, to go round long-sided to the boy to get the block in, because he knows he's clearing it. Very clever, if you like. And he gets his rewards when it didn't. I read a report, it trickled into the net. Well, if that trickles into the net, I'm not very happy with their keeper, because it went in like a bullet.
You obviously had to use different players. John Swift started that game on the right, Hall and then Agard. They all kind of offer something a little bit different, don't they?
Yeah, they do. You know, we know what Kieran gives us here. He gives us pace and power and goals. John Swift is a technical player who couldn't really get into the game on Saturday, and we've covered that. The harder he tried, the worse he got. And that's what happens when you play kids, you know, when you give them an opportunity, they'll sometimes surprise you by letting you down or letting themselves down, and then sometimes they'll be absolutely fantastic, like he was when he came on against Derby. So he'll play a big part. So will Kieran, and so will Ryan. It's, you know, we need a squad. Where people say we've got a squad, we're still lacking numbers compared to most others. But I suppose their supporters are used to us having 17 and 18 and putting kids on the bench. But this ain't the level for that.
I won't linger on the Agard thing, because we had a good chat about that at the weekend. But there is one final point I want to make on it, or ask, or put to you, is that, you know, he's out of contract next summer. How much does that play on your mind as this thing sort of develops, you know, as teams show a bit of interest there? Do you feel like you're under any pressure to sell, or would you be willing to risk maybe even losing him for free?
No, listen, it's the board's decision. If it's a financial decision to sell, the board of directors, we, with my consultation, set a value for Kieran. There is only Leeds United Football Club who came forward, despite a lot of interest, and others who met that valuation. And Kieran decided, after talking to them about personal terms, it was not right for him. So the rest of, as far as I'm concerned, can't meet the value. So if they can't meet the value, then they're never going to get him. So we're not a needing to sell club. You know, we're a club that if he runs down his value, you know, Kieran will still be treated with the respect and picked if it's right to select him in games, etc. But unless somebody meets that value, he's not going anywhere.
It would be a statement, though, wouldn't it, as a football club? Because there are clubs that sometimes feel under pressure to, our players going out of contract, we better move him on and get what we can. If you're saying that you're willing to keep him and use him this year, and that may be a possibility, says a lot about the club, doesn't it?
But we're quite set in our ways as a football club under Tony Stewart, aren't we? You know, look at the, and I'm not going to labour on this, so don't come back on it, but look at the Stevie May situation. We said no, not opposite. We said no, because the wage structure didn't suit. So if Kieran Agard's value is not met, we will say no, and he can run his contract down. That's my understanding from the chairman.
Your goalkeeping situation is an interesting battle, isn't it? We've seen both of them so far. That could change a lot, couldn't you? I mean, you're going to give them both an opportunity this year, aren't you?
Well, I've always been a believer that if you pick it honestly, you have to deserve to earn the shot, and if you earn the shot, you have to almost lose it, if you like. And we've seen that when we'd spells last year, when we'd Scott Shearer come in, and we gave him one or two opportunities to put errors behind him, and Adam sat there patiently like he did, but when he got his chance, it's fair to say the kid grabbed it, and he made one or two errors along the way, but he continually deserved to have the shot. And this year we decided at the end of the season there was nothing in it, so the person who should have the shot is the person that's known to us for obvious reasons, which is Adam. And I thought he was excellent at Derby. I thought he was inconsistent against Wolves. And we've got Scott Loach, who will want to play football more than anything, who will want to grab that shot. So it's, you know, both men will have a real fight.
What did you say to Adam after the game? Because he made some terrific saves, but I think you made the point that there was a couple of opportunities where he almost was the catalyst for the opportunity in the first place, wasn't he?
Well done, son. Clean sheet.
Simple as that.
Well, whatever happens with goalkeepers, people seem to forget whether you're 5 feet two as a goalkeeper or 8 feet two, or whether you cover the goal, whether you don't, whether you make great saves, whether you let easy ones. You're paid to keep the ball at the net. Rotherham United had a clean sheet on Saturday. We lost with a super, super goal at Derby the week before, both Adam and both those goals. And Scott Loach delivered a clean sheet on Tuesday night, and that's a good habit to have. And I don't care how they keep goal. I literally don't care how they keep goal. As long as if they deliver me a clean sheet against Watford tomorrow night, whoever the goalkeeper is, then we'll say thanks very much, clean sheet.
You mentioned last week that you were having talks with a player. Do you think that anything's close at this stage, or are you quite happy to wait this one out, or could we see something this week?
Well, certainly not for tomorrow. We like our players to train, as you know. We don't want to be bringing players into the group and like we had to do at the weekend and training for an hour. So, but we're not just in talks with one. We're in talks with two or three. But sometimes you need to be in talks with two or three to land one, as you know, given the level and the sensitivity at the level. But we're pleased with the business we've done, you know. But you know, wiser people than me at this championship level have said, you know, 5 or 6, 7 games in, you'll quickly be having thoughts about individuals within your squad. Some will be very positive, as in they've taken to the level, no issue. Some will be not so good, they've not taken to the level. And then the question, if they've not taken to the level, is can we get to them to the level, or do we give them the opportunity to get first team football elsewhere? And that will be the key decision.
Watford's the next game. There was an element of surprise when people discovered what their scoreline was at the weekend. Then we find out that they think played with 10 men for pretty much the whole game. It's going to be a tough one, this, though, isn't it?
Oh, very tough. I think our supporters have seen how good Derby are. And I've seen Derby before we played them on a week past Saturday. I'd seen Wolves, of course, in pre-season as well. And I've seen Watford. Watford are the best of the three for me. Interestingly, if you look at my programme notes and you look at my interviews last week, I said it then, before Wolves. So I'm not just coming up with this now, which you seem to be at this level. Everyone was surprised, I was, and then you learn there's a man off a minute and a half, and then you learn they scored twice in a minute second half. But if you watch the first half, even with 10 men at Norwich like I did, the better team are Watford. Who misses the chances? Watford. But this level is a way of teaching people, and when they miss two or three good chances to go back level, then the guy has a absolute fantastic goal, doesn't he? And then Grabbing gets a fantastic goal, and then it's game over. But these are a super side packed of talent with the best front two outside the Premiership, and probably could easily play in the Premiership, both of them.
That's the key thing, is it? When you look at the names they've got, you know, they have got players that are as good as any in this division, haven't they?
And the division above, you know, you're talking about a number of the squad have been involved in the World Cup games. They've got the boy Tozer, who can pass the ball. I'm sure he could put it on a mushroom from 50 yards. They've got Deeney and Vidra. Vidra's the best number 10 I've seen in a long, long time, certainly for the level. He had quite a bit of experience, of course, in the Premiership with West Bromwich Albion last season. And you've got the boy Troy Deeney, who I've always liked, and I've not even mentioned McGugan, who's a top player for me, who was an exceptional talent at Forest. So I could keep going with the players they've got. So I know now, and our service supporters know, just like I did last week. Watford followed, just having dealt with Wolves, two of the toughest games we could play, and I think it's three of the top six for sure that we've opened up with.
I bet you love these challenges, don't you?
Well, nobody around the country gives a chance at Derby. No one around the country gives a chance against Wolves. And it'll be even more of a no one around the country will give us a chance against Watford. I spoke to two championship managers yesterday as I watched a game. And when I said I had Watford, both, good luck and shoot the heads. And then, so from that point of view, we know it's going to be tough.